Thank you for tuning in to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're back in the studio with Miss Tanya, Miss Tara, and myself, Sandy. And today we're going to continue in the parable of the two sons and the obedience and disobedience. And we're going to focus in on Jesus right now. What an awesome place to focus.
I know.
So there we go.
I'm always telling the men and the women at the Open Door Mission when I teach that the key things that we need to look at when we study a passage of Scripture, you always want to ask, you know, what do I learn about God? What do I learn about the Holy Spirit? What do I learn about Jesus? And you'll have a little bit of all of them or just one of them, or in the case of, you know, Esther, none of them are labeled, but it's all over the place, mm-hmm. you know. So mm-hmm. you want to ask these questions. And this whole section on Jesus' authority being questioned and then him telling these parables, one, you need to know that Jesus answers the questioning of his authority to the chief priests and the elders because they need to understand the importance of submission to authority. Mm. They haven't gotten it yet. And the Holman New Testament, I wanted to share this. It was just profound. They said, the king's authority will threaten those who desire to usurp his authority for themselves.
Ooh, that's
repeat
powerful.
That again.
Yeah.
The king's authority will threaten those who desire to usurp his authority for themselves. Mm. So anytime we have somebody that's with us that's authority hungry or driven, they're going to be threatened when they see the authority of Christ in us, and they will do anything to stop us, to silence us, whatever. And so he went on to say Jesus's authority will be questioned in us, and Jesus desires obedient deeds more than words. Mm-hmm. Really getting this down. And on our break, Tanya said something, you know, profound in that she said, I found that it's about being faithful. I'm not the one that has to control the situation. Mm-hmm. I'm the one that's called to be faithful.
Right.
He's the one that deals with it, takes care of it, and we can trust that authority. We have to trust that in him, in the circumstances. So the test that I have within my own heart is I have to come to a place where I say, okay, Lord, I recognize this. I discern this is wrong. Now, the question I have to ask, am I being called to speak? And if I am, I better make sure I'm doing it, as we learned last time, in graciousness and in love. Mm-hmm. If I'm not, how am I being called to pray into it?
Mm-hmm.
So I had somebody come and ask me a hard question, shared like, okay, I had this circumstance, and I felt I was supposed to say something. I didn't. And now it's moved in the direction I felt like I was supposed to speak against. Now what do I do?
Mm.
And my answer was, is the choice has been made. Your responsibility now is to pray with discernment and to pray for the character of Christ to be evident and for the movement of the Holy Spirit to act in the people that are involved, trusting him in them, the authority of Christ in them.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard.
Right.
It's hard. To trust that it's there. But when we do that, that's when we make a big change. So in this, as we're looking at him with the religious leaders and Jesus speaking this parable, what do you learn about Jesus? What has it taught you about him?
He doesn't fall to the pressure of anybody.
No.
Except what he's submitting to the authority of God, his Father.
That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And he doesn't attack. You know, he always very calmly and sweetly says something. Well, he does sometimes. I guess he was not too happy with the people in the temple.
Yeah.
But with the questions, it doesn't seem like he does it. He's just trying to get their response correct.
Yeah, that reasoning.
Because it's always response that's important.
Not moved by emotion, but
has
the one question.
Right, that leads you to the right answer.
Oh, Father, give me the ability to ask good questions.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It astounds me how he can ask the question. You know, I know it's because he's holy God, but it's just the profound question that's in the moment that shuts them up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it does, and it's just profound to be able to so know the hearts of men to ask the question that reveals what's within their hearts so that they have to stop
right.
and think.
Right. Oh, yes.
You know?
Yep.
And he does that to me all the time.
Oh, my goodness. I have to share. Okay. So I was in a challenging class that I was teaching a couple months back. And I remember there was a battle going on for souls at that moment. And I remember asking this person, what's your point here? Why do you feel like you have to have the last say? Like, what is your motive? And they couldn't express it, which was exactly my point. What I wanted, how I wanted to truth, grace and truth to be evident at the end of that dialogue was for the sole purpose of the souls in that place to be able to understand truth. But this person, it was their pride, prideful mind and heart of wanting people to hear that they were knowledgeable.
Yeah. Ooh. Okay, that's convicting.
I know.
But it's true.
To myself.
It is
as
true.
Well.
Mm-hmm. It is true. I have been challenged in some circumstances where it's like I want to go and I really want to speak up. But I don't want to be the fool.
Right.
I don't want to go and question authority unless I know I am doing it in the will of God, with kingdom-mindedness, with His love, His humility. And I had a circumstance recently where I had to go in and I had to ask hard questions because of life choices. And by God's grace, it was so prayed into that all I did was ask, can you tell me the story? That was it. And it opened up. It opened up the floodgates. And because instead of me going in and saying,
why
this,
did you?
This, I asked for the story so I could find out what was going on in the heart. All of a sudden, repentance was occurring and the desire to get in the Word and a desire to have accountability, and was praying through that. And then it was all done, and, you know, it's like it was like a perfection of how you would want something to be. And I've left, and I'm astounded by it. And then I get a phone call, and another person involved, not knowing I had even had the conversation with this other, because some person that had come and told, called and began the process of repentance. And it was all because I was willing to listen to the story.
Right.
And I'm just sitting there thinking, God, why would I go in and act like these religious leaders and act like I have the authority to judge and give hard statements? But when I'm willing to just ask the question so for heart revelation can be made known, it radically changes the environment and the circumstance.
And influences it for God's glory.
Totally. And allows
listening also helps.
Absolutely.
That's a key word, listening.
It does make a difference. It does. So profound. Oh, I love it. I was going through this particular series. I think this one was written, Aholment. He says that Jesus makes three profound statements that we don't want to miss. And his statements that he states is he's like, one, the first thing we need to recognize is that he indicts the religious leaders for not believing in John as the prophet of God. Literally, he comes after them, because we went through on week two and we read through how John was appointed and anointed by God. And so they're indicted for their lack of belief in John. The second thing he says that Jesus did was that he vindicated the tax collector and the prostitutes for their belief.
Amen.
All of us sinners, yay.
And what's profound is that, like David Guzik says, you have to understand, he wasn't stating that the tax collectors or the prostitutes were better than the religious leaders. He's just showing that the choice of their heart,
they repented and believed.
Right. Mm-hmm. The choice of, because God does not play favorites.
Right.
The playing field was the same. And then the third thing that the Holman said is that the religious leaders, again, he indicted them, but this time they were given a second chance to believe. Mm. Mm-hmm. And they chose not to. And they allowed pride to take over. And so if we're given that second chance, to not allow the pride to be what takes us, you know?
Amen.
And it's like, wow, that's so profound. And so ultimately it comes down to two choices. And this is so funny because it's so repetitive and it just tells me that we're just, or I should say, I am a stupid sheep. Obey or disobey.
Yeah, that's
what it
Isn't
comes
that right?
down to every single time. Obey or disobey. And so the question the third question is, so which one did correctly? Mm-hmm. The irony is that they all answered correctly.
Yeah, that is the irony. You're right.
Everybody in the group recognized it was the second son.
But that just shows that they do know, you know, what was right to do.
Right.
Not that they do it, but...
I know. Oh, that's... So one of the commentators, you guys, I think it was Holman or Bible Knowledge, they gave a really interesting thought that there's a third implied son in this parable.
Hmm.
And they said the third implied son is the one that listens and obeys.
Mm.
And that's Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus represents the one that heard what God wanted him to do in the vineyard and did it that day.
Hmm.
And that we have to recognize that he's not calling us to perfection as in what Jesus did, but ultimately it would be beautiful if we just
obeyed.
Uh-huh. The first time.
Yeah, the first time, right.
Hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. So with him talking to them and the statements that he's making and the religious leaders that are sitting there, what do you think the religious leaders' responses were at this point? Because they understood. They answered
they
correctly.
They did understand. Well, their choice
was anger,
not,
probably. Yeah. Can't you picture that?
Mm-hmm.
Frustration.
Kind of been called on the carpet, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Right. I know that Scripture tells us that Joseph of Arimathea was a Sanhedrin.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So one of them... Hmm. Repented. Scripture tells us he did not believe or pursue the plot to kill Jesus.
Right.
So we know one of them got it.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason why I know that is because that was the story I taught this week at the Open Door Mission. And so I know of one Sanhedrin, according to Scripture, that got it. Because that was Joseph of Arimathea, the one that actually put him in the tomb.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of comforted me some, you know.
And I'm sure there are more. You know,
I would
they just
hope
weren't
so.
Outspoken about it, or it just hasn't been revealed to us yet.
Right. What is it that you really like about this passage?
Well, you know, you always think Jesus is the God of second chances, you know, which is amazing. You know, he's always there ready for you to repent and believe, and he forgives. Too bad the Sanhedrins didn't.
I know.
Do that. Didn't. I guess their hearts are too hard.
Yeah. How about you, Tanya?
I think I am a teacher like you.
Right.
And so I really draw into how Jesus has the authority. He captures the attention, how he speaks very calmly, divinely, specifically detailed, not very wordy.
I'm so wordy.
I wish I was more wordy, but I think your wordiness is beautiful.
It is.
I think of it as beautiful, like the flowers.
You're so sweet. You're so sweet. The three parables that he does, this is the first of the ones that follow. The first one is about the two sons. The second one is about the landowners and the son that's killed. And the third one is about the bridegroom.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the third son in the first one, that's not mentioned, the one that is killed in the second one. And in the bridegroom, he's the one that's celebrated.
Right.
And one of the commentators said, you have to understand, he's telling them that they're called to obedience, mm-hmm. to not reject the Son and to honor the Son. So he's actually walking them through with each of these parables what he wants to see happen in their hearts.
Oh, I have goosebumps.
What wow. ultimate teacher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, as I was looking at this and I'm thinking, what is my blessing for this? I was so impacted by that it's cowardly mm-hmm. when there's truth that needs to be spoken and it's not. I have had some really difficult tests put before me where honestly, I wanted to be the one that ran. Mm. I didn't want to go ask the hard question. Mm-hmm. And so not wanting to be a yellow belly coward. Yeah, it's what we called them when we were kids. Right. I think that sticks out. Maybe it's the hard truth, something that I struggle with. But I think the other thing is that the questions, just using the questions mm-hmm. and using them well, because that's something I'm working on. And then so I was so excited because I saw initially two, and then I'm like, how did I miss? There were three. Didn't catch it until I got here.
And like Tanya said, very few words. You didn't have to use a lot of words that got them thinking. Yeah. Well, you did too. Tell me the story.
I know. You know, I think one thing, if we have the heart of a shepherd to go after
that lost sheep.
Yeah, and with the heart to bring them back in, mm-hmm. the heart to show them the Father's heart for them, to speak that hard truth. But I think if they can receive that love in that moment, they'll be more willing, like yours was, to open up. Mm-hmm. Hopefully repent, but if not, you know, as you're what you were called to do that day you for the it. Kingdom mm-hmm. in the vineyard, you were obedient, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the crazy thing is that if we wake up with the yes, Lord, for the vineyard, mm-hmm. whatever it is that he brings before us that day, we're not going to really know that he's at work.
Right.
In us as we're working the vineyard. Mm-hmm. And I think my position as Dean of Women at Grace University has revealed that to me on so many levels. Like, I have no idea that he's at work. And then I hear later about something he did, and I'm like, well, I don't even remember that. and so just trusting him and the authority of him in us, that if we are just willing to take care of the vineyard he's given us, mm-hmm. he will take care of what needs to be done through us.
Amen.
We're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts, and we just appreciate those that make this possible. God bless.